here in the Buckeye State, March is coming in a bit like a lamb. Of course, I like to eat lamb. It's actually quite tasty. So maybe March will come in like a lamb and out like a lion. Of course, speaking of lion, that's what a lot of politicians do. And on this program, especially with Super Tuesday being tomorrow, plus we also repeat this show on Tuesday and Thursday sometimes, there'll be a lot of lying, a lot of false accusations, false promises, and who knows what else. But I'll try to keep my usage of words that I wouldn't say in front of polite company to a minimum, if not zero, because sometimes it gets kind of intense. If you're wondering what I'm implying, well, it's time for a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam, which is I, and the professor. And I think I've dialed up. The intern did it, but I think he knows what he's doing. I've dialed up Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, our official presidentologist, political commentator, and all-around dude of interestingness. And Ron, you're in Florida, where it's almost always spring or summer. How is the month of March treating you so far?
Well, it's been quite chilly here, actually, in Florida in the last few days. It's amazing, you know? In the mornings, it gets better during the day, but we actually have to put the heat on overnight.
Oh, my goodness. And you live to tell about it. I'm so happy to hear that. We do want to
yes.
wish a get-well greeting, a virtual get-well package provided to our friend Monique H. She has some health issues, but they are being addressed, and I'm sure she will pull out fine. She is certainly a fighter. She is a listener to this program, follower of myself and Ron on Facebook, and all-around interesting lady. So, Monique H., if you're listening, we do provide you with excellent wishes for a speedy recovery and an end to some of the medical issues that you've had recently. We know you're a fighter. I'm sure you'll come out better than ever. This program,
you know, that.
always good for lifting the spirits. Now, Super Tuesday, that's tomorrow. Not too surprisingly, Grandpa Joe, Sleepy Joe, Sniffy Joe, whatever you want to call him, he won the primaries in South Carolina over the weekend. But the big news, Ron, and this honestly is 10 times as big as anything else going on, although it's kind of related to the presidency, is the coronavirus. And I'm sure you saw this over the weekend, Ron, someone we've talked about a few times, Jay Inslee, governor of Washington State. And he did have hopes for the presidency, but he has ditched those hopes. He's declared a state of emergency in the state of Washington because of the one death.
Yes.
A man, I believe, in his 50s who has passed due to the coronavirus. Now, Ron, I am not denying for one second this is a serious problem and a possible pandemic. Do you agree with me, though, that it's being over-dramatized, even in the case of Jay Inslee? See, he's known for over-dramatizing. He over-dramatizes climate change. No, I agree. There is climate change, but I think he's gone a little overboard. Now, I respect him greatly for enacting a law that provides for net neutrality in Washington State. Thumbing his nose at Donald Trump, who doesn't seem to understand that. So that's wonderful. But, you know, Inslee, very smart man, you know, like myself, just so scientific and cerebral in his approach. I think he's kind of overdone a few things. But let me ask you, because we haven't discussed this online or anywhere, do you agree that a state of emergency is appropriate in Washington State, or is Mr. Inslee kind of over-dramatizing, which he, again, has a tendency to do?
I would say after one death, it's too much. But if there's more deaths, then I think it makes sense. But at this point, as far as we know, there's only one. So, but the thing is, this person was not in China or in Asia and had no contact with anybody. So that makes you wonder how that came about. So it's something to be alarmed about. But I don't know if after one death I would make it an issue. But if it becomes multiple deaths, yes.
But hey, I understand this is new and it's mysterious and not sure how to fight it. But you would agree that since we last talked, people have died of the flu, of AIDS. AIDS is not eradicated. It's not the disease it was in the 80s and 90s, but it's still around. And people have also abused drugs, and not necessarily because they were junkies. They were prescribed wrong doses or prescribed a drug erroneously anyway or too aggressively by a doctor, or in some states where they can write prescriptions for strong medications, a nurse practitioner or some other medical provider. And, of course, those are known issues, but they need to be solved also. We need to prioritize. And it's hard for me to make an assessment, a delineation of sorts, Ron, But I think we need to look at this logically and not panic. And I respect how Governor Inslee always likes to look at everything in that step-by-step approach and make sure the bases are covered. But state of emergency may be overdoing it.
It's possible based on one. But again, if more cases develop of deaths, then I think it becomes much more serious. I do think probably it could have waited to see if there was more deaths. But actually, I think the odds are growing there will be a lot more deaths, unfortunately.
It certainly can be serious, but we have many issues to be concerned about, many health-related issues. This is a new one, and it is mysterious. It has that mystique that originated in Wuhan in China. We don't know much about that area. And Asia is very important in this country. I mean, as a computer guy, that's where computer stuff tends to be made, where a lot of programmers live, and technology affects anything and everything that we do.
Now, about 60% of the world's population is in Asia, you have to realize. You know, between China and India alone, over 40, and then all the other countries. So a majority of the people in the world are Asian. So that makes it a major issue worldwide.
And we had a stock market drop on the New York Stock Exchange. Dow Jones.
Oh, my God, did it drop?
Industrial average dropped over 1,000 points just during one day last week. The largest point drop ever, not percentage, because the Dow keeps increasing. I remember in 1987 when it dropped over 400 points, about a quarter of its total value. And that was quite a major news story for sure. Now, the market is cyclical, but I just don't see how this problem can affect the market that much. And interestingly, as you've probably seen, Ron, it's not affecting the markets in Asia or Europe as much as it is here. And that brings to mind, is that because people don't think Donald Trump has a handle on this or that he doesn't understand science? Now,
I don't think he does. And frankly, putting Vice President Pence, who's anti-science, who doesn't believe in global warming or climate change, doesn't believe in evolution, and thinks smoking is not a problem, but way back in 2001, he's never repudiated that, you know, as far as health. I mean, this man is not qualified to be leading a task force. It's crazy. And meanwhile, the people in the CDC are careful about what they're saying because they're worried about alienating the commander-in-chief, and that's not right. That should not be an issue.
Ron, would you agree that people's lack of confidence in Donald Trump and the people assisting him, as you mentioned, Mr. Pence, his lack of ability, lack of understanding of science, has a big effect on why the stock market has dropped so much and why people are panicked? Would that be a logical statement, or how much of a blame do you put on Donald Trump, and how important is it for the president to unite Americans like us in a crisis like this?
It's very important, but he's politicizing it, saying it's all because of the Democrats. He can't seem to get away from politics, even on something like this, and it's just inappropriate. But he's scaring a lot of people, I think, and I think Pence does not engender confidence.
We're speaking with Dr. Ron Feinman on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. Of course, a big story, coronavirus, and Donald Trump, is he the kind of president you want during a time of crisis? I guess Ron's answer would be no. And as I've told you, Ron, I've switched a bit as to where my allegiances lie. There are still many things about
Donald
Trump.
You were saying on Facebook, you stunned me. My mouth was wide open.
There are many things about Donald Trump that I like, him being anti-establishment, being a little crazy, being with seven letters and the second word. Well, you know what the word is. It's a slang word for a rear part
begin
of our body.
Begin and end with a vowel.
Right. And many people, even those who love Donald Trump, agree. And we need a president who is a word. We've talked about in sports, managers who are just too nice. Dusty Baker as an example. Maybe Tony Perez, when they manage the Reds.
Baseball, that's not world politics.
They were great players. But I would agree that they weren't really cut out to manage the Reds. Now, Baker had success with other teams, but he was kind of a disappointment with the Reds. Perez didn't have a lot of hopes for him. I think he's much better as a coach, but he certainly tried. But bottom line is those guys are too nice. You change gears a bit. Mike Ditka, Billy Martin, Lou Piniella, even Sparky Anderson. Managers, very smart, nice men just as guys, but as managers didn't put up with any... You know, I guess you can say crapola on the air. And do you want the same thing with the president? Well, it'd be nice to have someone who's nice and friendly, like Joe Biden or in the past Jimmy Carter, but someone who could also be a word like Donald Trump. I don't think that person exists, but think that's what a lot of people would agree with in terms of what would be the most effective, be the most effective leader. And as I've mentioned, Ron, when something goes well in the country, the president is a benefactor of circumstance. Like we talked 2 weeks ago, the stock market was in a big bull market, a little mixed, but mostly bull last time. And this time, well, it's calling it a bear market is an understatement. Calling it a possible recession is probably more accurate. So when things don't go well, the president's a victim of circumstance. And I agree with that. I take a look at how things are going in the country. Carter, with the gas prices, the inflation, the interest rates, didn't make him look very good. Now, Ron and I would not agree fully on how much blame is to be given to Carter. We both give some blame to him. I give more than he does. But in the case of Donald Trump, this benefactor of circumstance, benefactor of a good economy, well, that has changed. Now, I will add that interest rates are expected to go down possibly twice as much as they would normally do after the Fed's meet, which I believe will be in a couple weeks or so. That's to stimulate the economy. Gas prices are very good. They're under $2 in parts of the Columbus area. But that's sometimes done just as a stimulation of the economy. The energy business right now is pretty crazy. And I'm just speaking for my own portfolio. I'm big on utility stocks because they're more conservative. They generally pay dividends and pretty much recession-proof. You will always need energy regardless of the economy. They've suffered a lot. I don't recall, Ron, the energy stocks, the energy industry ever suffering this much in my lifetime. It's strange that that would be affected by the coronavirus. But it just shows lack of confidence in Donald Trump. And as the market and the economy go, that's how Donald Trump goes. So we would have talked a couple weeks ago, I would have said I would vote for Trump over Warren. I've changed that. I don't like Warren. I like her as a person. She's just way too liberal, and I don't trust her on the border and other immigration issues. But I think at this point she would be a better leader, especially in these tougher crisis times than Donald Trump would be. Buttigieg, honestly, I don't really trust the guy, and I'm very troubled by what some of his former South Bend, Indiana citizens, or whatever the word would be, the people in South Bend, I guess, when he was mayor of South Bend, what they had to say about him and that he might be a little bit racist or not really treat all groups fairly. I don't know. I wasn't there. But as you've seen, Ron, some of that stuff is troubling. There are things I like about Buttigieg, but honestly, he's still in that unsure category. But I think if he were to be the nominee and he were to make a good VP choice, I probably would pick him over Donald. But I can't promise that. I still believe Biden probably will come through. Speaking of Sniffy Joe or Grandpa Joe, or as Donald calls him, Sleepy Joe, he, not surprisingly, had a pretty big victory in South Carolina. And you know, we've talked before that maybe it's time to put him out to pasture. I want to amend that also. Is Biden back to being the front runner, Ron, or is Buttigieg still the front runner? What's up with after Biden's big victory?
Well, I'll tell you, I endorse Pete, but I'm really getting the feeling a lot will depend on Super Tuesday, of course. But if Pete does not do really fairly well somewhere, I think he's probably the end of his campaign, and Klobuchar and Warren, Steyer is already out. Tulsi Gabbard is not, you know, anything to think about, except if she runs as an independent, which is scary. But I think, you know, I had said yesterday, it might be, a couple of days ago, it might be four people meeting, you know, left after Super Tuesday, meeting Pete and of course Biden and Sanders and Bloomberg. But it could be just the three without Pete, which would mean three people, any of them, if they won, would reach 80 in office, and two of the three are Jewish. I think it's an amazing result when you think about it. If those are the three actually that make it past Super Tuesday and continue on, Bernie, Joe, and Mike. It could very well be that.
So you would say at this point the two front runners are Biden and Sanders. Buttigieg is kind
Bloomberg
of a...
Bloomberg can spend and spend and spend. He might do very well. We'll have to see. Pete really has to do well somewhere, and so does Amy and Warren. But I don't... I mean, Pete's doing a little bit better than the two women, but I think they're all in danger, really. So I think they might all have to drop out.
Yeah, and it's not common that I keep kind of changing my allegiances, but I look at Donald Trump's leadership in crisis, and, you know, when the chips are down, Ron, that's why how you judge people. Same thing with sports.
Yes.
What does the manager do? When you know a head football coach do when you know, you have 30 yards to the end zone, do you bring in a field goal kicker? Do you try to run the ball? Do you try to pass it? Do you try to call timeout so you can kind of think it over and do it in a few smaller plays? Well, we're looking at the same thing with Donald Trump, and He's getting a D from my end, and D is being fairly generous. His lack of understanding of science, as I've mentioned on Facebook, kind of losing tolerance for that. Mike Pence, not a good choice for the person in charge of the coronavirus.
Well, to be a heartbeat away from being president, yeah. Either.
So it's not looking too good. I do like the low gas prices and the fact that my mortgage may go down by a bit and when the interest rates drop, but there's much more to the puzzle. And things kind of work themselves out. And Donald Trump will find a way to show that he is looking good. And as a politician, that's what they do. It doesn't matter if it's a bad situation. You want to take anything that happens and make it show that you are a good leader. But it's getting a little harder.
Yeah, I want to make it clear that I'm a Joe Biden fan, but I was so like losing faith in him, and that's why I went to peace. But honestly, if Joe could go all the way, I'd be thrilled because I love the guy. He's always been my hero since Hubert Humphrey passed away. He's the one politician I admired the most. Not perfect, but I've admired him, and I know his age is an issue, but it's the same with the other two. You know, so I think that he's still the best if he picks a good running mate, and if he can't finish the term, as long as any of these three, if they have a good running mate, that's crucial. The vice president has to be a strong possible choice. Otherwise, we're really in danger because any of these people, just by their age, might not make it to the end of their term.
We have been intrigued by this article, Ron, in Politico.com. I think 55 things about Bernie Sanders that you need to know.
What a fascinating article.
And let's just go through a few of them. And again, I make no apologies for my assessment of him as a communist sympathizer, a borderline communist, a person with a history of supporting these far-left socialist ideologies. And I read this stuff, Ron, and honestly, I strengthen my opinion. I make no apologies. So this isn't some kind of a McCarthyism scare tactic. The guy's extremely dangerous. So again, versus Warren, yes, she's very liberal, and I think, as we've talked about, I think she would moderate a bit as president. She's very smart and well-spoken and very spry for her age. She seems 10, 15 years younger, and she is likable. I just wish she wouldn't be quite as liberal, but I guess we could find out if she were to become president. I don't think she would win. She will win, but you never know. All these surprises.
I think she's the most likable other than Joe of the contenders, really. Joe is likable, but I think she is, too. You're right.
Everything's just changing, including my own assessment of which candidate is the best. As I've maybe hinted a couple times, Bloomberg is starting to grow on me. People have described him as Donald Trump with manners. And that kind of takes away what I don't like. One of the things I don't like about Donald Trump is that he isn't very presidential. Yes, it can be good that he's not always a nice guy. And I think Bloomberg could be the same way. The mayor was mayor of the largest city in this country, you know, the unofficial capital of the world, New York, very self-made, but he'd be more presidential. He doesn't really seem like a Democrat to me. He seems like myself, an independent, economically conservative, and fair and compassionate.
He's been everything. Yeah, and I wrote an article this week about party switches on History News Network showing 17 people in the last 100 years, including four people right now, have switched around back and forth. Obviously, Trump and Sanders and Warren and Bloomberg all have switched around
honestly,
Warren was a Republican in the 90s.
When I go to the polls, I can't tell you. It might be Amy. It might be Bernie. Probably wouldn't be Pete, but I'm not guaranteeing it wouldn't be. And it might be Bloomberg. And that'll depend, I think, on Super Tuesday because I like to take a look at the trends.
Yeah,
in this.
Well, I have my ballots, and I was going to vote for Pete, but I'm waiting until after Super Tuesday. My election is the 17th. And after that, I'll decide. And I may, instead of voting for Pete, assuming he's in, I might vote for Joe. It'll be Joe or Pete. But I was thinking Joe was done, but now I have second thoughts, and I really think he could very well go all the way.
So Ron and I are still kind of mulling over, and that's kind of makes this thing interesting. I think most people are still a bit undecided.
I think it's certainly if you're a political junkie like you and I are, this is heaven, you know.
this is definitely a time to be really not to sleep because you'll be sleeping, something crazy is going to happen. So among these facts of Bernie Sanders, I'm just going to show a few that I think are interesting. We'll start with one that's not controversial. Now, Bernie, Ron, doesn't seem very athletic. Now, granted, he's 172 years old, but you don't think of him as someone who is a former athlete. Obama, for example, looks like he's in pretty good shape. Donald Trump when he was younger, but I don't think he'll be running any marathons now. Gerald Ford, a star football player for OSU's big rival, U of Michigan. Well, used to be that Bernie Sanders, when he was younger, was actually quite athletic. He had aspirations. Interestingly, he doesn't seem very tall. I'm not quite sure how tall he is, but he isn't basketball player size. When he was in high school, though, he was cut from his high school basketball team, and he calls that one of the major disappointments of his life. He was a co-captain of the track and field team, and as a junior, finished third in all of New York City in the indoor one-mile race. He said he had good endurance, and he seems to still have good endurance as he approaches 80 years old. It's his second candidacy. Granted, he does look old and doesn't really present himself very well or very attractively, but got to love the guy's stamina. He doesn't give up, and I think he still has that attitude more than 60 years after he was a participant in sports in his younger years.
But the one thing is his heart attack, the doctors have not told us the details about his condition, and he's not revealing that, so that could be an issue.
He penned a 2,000-word manifesto in the Chicago Maroon, the university's student newspaper, defending sexual freedom and attacking administrators for policies aimed at preventing students from having sex. That's something I would say is good. People are going to have adult activities, and you're not going to stop it. I think we have other things to worry about. The summer after he graduated from college in 1964, he bought, for $2,500, his first house, a dirt-floor sugar shack in the woods outside Middlesex, Vermont. So he's had an interesting life, for sure. For most of his
No electricity and no running water, yeah.
He started a business by producing low-budget film strips about Vermont and New England history that he sold to schools. He made a 30-minute documentary on Eugene Debs, a prominent labor organizer in the early 1900s and the five-time presidential candidate of the Socialist Party of America, whom Sanders has cited as a hero. Just keep that in mind, folks, when you go to the polls. There's a reason why someone like myself, you know, fairly well-educated, and I would say, you know, I wasn't exactly born yesterday, and that becomes more of a fact every day. There's a reason why I call the guy a dangerous, a borderline communist, and a communist sympathizer, and I make no apologies for that.
Let me just intervene to say about Eugene Debs, who I've talked about. He ran for president five times, and he was a socialist, but he was not supportive of the Soviet Union. So he wasn't that dangerous, but he actually won 1 million votes, 6% of the total, in 1912 in a race against T.R., Taft, and Wilson, all three running. And he also went to prison because he opposed World War I, the draft, and he was in prison in 1920, his last time running, and he actually was running for president from prison. And the joke was, of course, jokingly, if he had won, what would have happened? The Chief Justice would have had to come to the prison, swear him in, and he would have had to pardon himself.
Interestingly, Ron, I've tried to rack my brain about my days in college, and I went to college 100 miles from Burlington, Vermont, in northern New York. And Burlington was one of the nearby places people can go to if they want to go to a relatively larger city. Burlington, largest city in Vermont, but it's not exactly New York City. It's actually a little close to the size of Marion. But unlike Marion, it's not an outlying suburb of Columbus. It's not somewhat near Toledo or Cleveland or Dayton, which are definitely major metro areas. The area around Burlington and Vermont in general is fairly rural. So Burlington is kind of the place to go if you're in Vermont. Of course, you can always go across the border to Montreal, which is definitely a huge city. But to stay in the States, Burlington is pretty much it. And Vermont, its capital city is Montpelier, which has about 8,500 people.
yes.
A very small capital city for sure. So Vermont, you know, it's a beautiful state. If you've never been there, I do encourage you to go. I would recommend doing it during the warm weather, as it's up north and kind of cold up there, but it is beautiful there in the summer. And if you get a little bored, just hop over the border to Montreal. You'll never get bored in that place. So,
yeah, I've been to Vermont. It's a very nice state, very, very beautiful weather and very scenic.
I was in college from 1980 until 1985 and worked in broadcasting in the same part of the country, 85 to 87. So in 1981, Bernie Sanders won election for mayor of Burlington. Again, not really far. If you drive fast, a two-hour drive from my college. He was 39 then. And I remember hearing about the socialist mayor, Bernie Sanders.
And he won by 10 votes. Imagine that.
Just by kind of racking my brain. He seemed kind of a novelty, and to think
you wonder if he won it by manipulation. I'm joking because 10 votes makes you It's legitimate. You
almost wonder. 40 almost 40 years later, here he is running for president. It's just amazing. Yes. Amazing how things happen. Just like with Jimmy Carter being president during my childhood, still alive, still teaching Sunday school. He's beaten many medical issues and still going pretty strong as he approaches 100 years old. So, again, difficult presidency.
By the way, today, because on October 1st, he's 95 years and 5 months old today.
Difficult presidency, but all the power to him. He's certainly, as Ron and I have talked about and agree, the best former president ever, as he's gone over two generations past his presidency, and definitely an elder statesman, which we should be very proud of here in the great USA. Now, Bernie Sanders, before he became mayor, was a man of very small means, and his starting salary was over $33,000 in 1981. That's pretty good money. Interestingly, he was once ticketed for parking his car, a rusty Volkswagen Dasher, in the mayor's spot. The officer couldn't believe it was actually the mayor's car.
Yes.
So, came from very small means.
Gary Trudeau had him in the Doonesbury Strip in the People's Republic of Burlington. I think that's quite funny also.
One of the points here is Bernie Sanders served as an elector for the 1980 Socialist Workers' Party presidential nominee Andrew Pulley, a Trotskyite who supported the Castro regime in Cuba and spoke favorably of the 1979 Iranian Revolution. So keep that in mind, folks, whom Bernie Sanders has supported. I was in college or almost in college at that time. Guy's very scary. I make no apologies for that. I'm willing to talk about any of the other candidates who are still in the election. Not Gabbard, because she's a whack job. But the other ones, I'm willing to talk about them, understand that they have their good qualities. But Sanders, very dangerous.
But I think Gabbard could run as an independent and cause troubles. That's what worries me. I hope she does it. Because Hillary Clinton is...
We shall find out.
Administration Democrats don't like her.
In 1985, when I was in grad school and started working professionally in broadcasting, Bernie Sanders visited Nicaragua and met its president, Daniel Ortega. He heaped praise on its socialist government, Sandinistas, which at the time was fighting rebel Contras supported by the United States, the freedom fighters that we heard about during the Reagan administration. What do you think about that, Ron? About praise on the socialist Sandinista government? Does that give you the willies like it does to me, or is that overdramatized?
No, I don't like that he did that, but I also don't like that we supported the Contras because that was illegal. Congress said we should not get involved, and Reagan did it, and we had the Iran-Contra scandal. So I would say plague on both sides on that issue.
And Bernie Sanders, again, someone who has multiple talents, multiple aspirations. In 1987, he recorded a 5-track album featuring covers of folk hits like This Land Is Your Land, This Land Is My Land, blah, blah, blah. It only sold a couple hundred copies, but in 2016, it was re-released and went to number 62 on Amazon. He hung a Soviet flag in his city hall office to honor Burlington's city, sister city in Russia. Honestly, that doesn't really bother me. It's a sister city, and I don't see it as an endorsement of communism, like the endorsement of these worker parties. I think it's just being a good world resident. So that doesn't actually bother me, which may be a little ironic. He flew to Cuba with his wife in 1989, hoping to meet Fidel Castro, but instead met the mayor of Havana.
I wonder why he couldn't be Castro. That's interesting. I guess he wasn't seen as important enough by Castro.
Maybe he didn't smoke cigars, and that was a requirement. Who knows? He tepidly endorsed one of Ron and my favorite candidates, Walter Mondale, for president in 1984. More enthusiastically endorsed Jesse Jackson in 1988. While running for Congress in 88, he brought a TV crew profiling him for 60 Minutes to the local Vermont Associated Press Bureau to chastise its reporters for skipping his recent news conference. He hung a photo of Eugene Debs in his office on Capitol Hill. And, the NRA is an interesting organization. They are thought of as being far right, but many people who hunt and are in favor of legal usage and carrying of weapons aren't necessarily to the right, as certainly right to bear arms is guaranteed by the Constitution. The NRA urged its members to vote for Bernie Sanders in the 1990 race for Vermont's sole U.S. House seat. At the time, he opposed a mandatory waiting period before buying a handgun. So hard to believe, Ron, that 30 years ago, the NRA endorsed a very left-wing candidate. But as we say, politics makes strange bedfellows. And including with myself, I have views that may be looked at as right, left, or on things like, I would say, the death penalty, a nonpartisan issue, which only makes things more interesting.
Yeah, people, I was startled by the fact that in 16 years in the House, he only had one bill that he was the lead sponsor of. That shocked me in 16 years
people
in the House.
People have said, what has Bernie Sanders done during his long tenure in Congress? Well, really not very much. And what would he get done as president? Less, because no one would ever take him seriously because he doesn't follow the spirit of how this country does things. You think nothing gets done under Trump, you ain't seen nothing yet if Sanders were to become president. The only law that became in existence due to Sanders' lead sponsorship was renaming a post office in Fairhaven, Vermont, which certainly isn't exactly a major news story. Though Sanders steadfastly opposed the 2003 war in Iraq, he supported the Iraq Liberation Act of 98, which declared that regime change in Iraq should be the official policy of the United States of America. What do you think about that one?
May I interrupt to say number 40 I found fascinating about the about moving nuclear waste to Texas in an impoverished community, mostly Latino, and one of the bill's vocal liberal opponents was Paul Wellstone, one of my heroes, who, of course, was killed in 2002 in a plane crash, but he was very critical of Sanders and of the people promoting that bill. So that's interesting. A Paul Wellstone, who certainly was on the left, could not accept what Sanders was doing.
Yeah, well, I think he's more divisive than Trump, and nothing would ever get done under a Sanders presidency. When you think nothing gets done now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Sanders' children have had aspirations to be in politics, and we've seen the Bushes, they all kind of get along. They're similar. George W. Bush maybe a bit to the right of his father, George H.W. Bush, and maybe even a little to the left we would have Jeb Bush, and as Ron has said, he likes some things about him. For example, his handling of crises like hurricanes, which are an important thing for the governor to do in his neck of the woods. Now, Bernie Sanders has a son named Levy, who ran for Congress in 2018. Levy came in seventh, and Bernie Sanders did not endorse it, saying his family does not believe in dynastic politics.
And he also did not endorse his stepdaughter's run for mayor, Burlington mayor, the office he held.
No, I would agree that you are not under an obligation to support a family member who runs for office. We've just seen so much camaraderie with the Bushes. But Sanders, kind of the opposite. It's like my way or the highway. And kind of makes us think, is he someone who can get along with Congress? He can't even get along with his own kids.
I want to point out, go back to number 42, he agreed to take the Vermont Democratic Party nomination for the Senate, and then he won it and then declined and ran as an independent. So, boy, he doesn't play well with others, does he?
And that's one of the most important things of the president. Now, Ron, you and I would agree 100%. Trump does not play well with others. Now, part of it is being his nature, where he's an argumentative and a difficult guy, but he goes overboard, and you need to play well with others. We've discussed George H.W. Bush, whom you have some affection for, that he did that quite well, maybe even better than Reagan, that he was willing to listen, probably because his resume was so good. He'd held so many different offices. He was fairly moderate and didn't seem to get a lot done, but he was likable and tried the hardest. People were just so used to the charisma of Reagan, and that was that along with lying about raising taxes kind of did him in. And why he was a one-term president, and why Clinton, fairly conservative economically, but fairly liberal on the traditional Democratic issues, why he served two very popular terms as president. And I list him as the best president in my lifetime. Not perfect, but certainly the good outweighs the bad. So Bernie Sanders, you know, he's shown as being argumentative, even with members of his own family. He has a long history of sympathizing with socialists, if not communists. I guess one thing that I consider to be okay is that he has smoked marijuana twice. In 2015, he said, I coughed a lot. It's not my thing, which is good. You don't have to be a user yourself, but I think we got bigger problems to worry about right now than making pot illegal, not to mention you can...
I laughed at that, though, because Bill Clinton said he didn't inhale.
Well, I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand how you smoke pot without inhaling, but I'm sure Bill Clinton, you know, I'm sure he has some way of explaining that. He has three homes worth at least $2 million and doesn't have a... His car is nicer than the beat-up Volkswagen that he had as mayor, but it's a 2010 red Chevrolet Aveo. I used to have a Chevrolet Sonic.
I like it in favor for me. He likes ABBA and Celine Dion, which I like also.
I used to have a Chevrolet Sonic, which was the successor to the Aveo. It's a decent car, so he's not driving around in a Rolls Royce, even though he could probably afford a less expensive one, but drives the fuel-efficient, nondescript Chevrolet Aveo. Does not have apps on his phone. He has all of Beethoven's symphonies on his iPad and also likes ABBA. I like ABBA. Not a tremendous Celine Dion fan, but she's pretty good. And she's Canadian, so and being from Vermont, that's a border state. So not one of my favorites, but I certainly do admire her. Outstanding singer and not bad looking either. He's in the...
And also his older brother Larry is a politician in Britain, in the United Kingdom, which is interesting.
He has an IMDb page, has appeared on screen for 2 minutes as a rabbi in 1999 in a low-budget comedy, My Ex-Girlfriend's Wedding Reception. I also like broccoli and fresh bread. Steak, medium rare. Well, I like it to be medium. I don't like it still to be mooing. But whatever turns you on, the bottom line is...
That Israel has been very critical of Sanders because of his view on the Palestinian issue. So they, I think one of the people there said the last few days, he's not welcome to come. Now, what if he won? They'd have to accept him, I guess. But
well, he's so divisive, he wouldn't get anything done. He is so extreme. Yeah. And I said, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but you think Trump is extreme. You think Trump doesn't get things done. Trump is divisive. This is night and day on a relative basis. So let's hope that Bernie Sanders' momentum takes a nosedive. He's an interesting man, but he's dangerous. Nothing would ever get done. And you think the economy is tanking now. I don't want to think of what would happen under a Sanders presidency. We need someone who's an economic moderate, hopefully somewhat conservative. I think we would possibly have that with Biden and someone who is experienced and is a steady hand when times are tough.
But the running mate is the all-crucial thing. And there's rumors, and I want to bring this up to you, that Harris might be his running mate. What do you think of a ticket of Biden-Harris? I know you're not a big Harris fan.
Not a fan of hers. I feel she's a danger to our security because of her stupid comments about ICE and the border. However, I don't want to be hypocritical. I don't like Al Gore. He's a bit of a whack job, and I can't stand his wife. You talk about whack jobs. Don't get me started on that. But I supported him as VP with Clinton because I like Clinton and liked Hillary so much. So I don't want to be hypocritical. I can deal with Harris as VP, but it would not be a smart choice. Hopefully he could pick somebody more appropriate. But I think she might end up being...
He picks her, he gets elected, and something happens, and she becomes president during the term. How will you feel about that? That's what you're dealing with.
I wouldn't be too happy, no. So all I can say is Biden.
You choose his running mate. Who would you give him the vice to be? Stacey Abrams from Georgia? I don't think so.
I think Pete might be a decent choice.
Okay, Pete. But that's exactly half his age. That's really funny. 78 and 9,
But I tend to think that Harris, and she also dropped out awfully quickly. She was looked at as a front runner when everything started.
Yes.
She's being groomed for VP. I wouldn't doubt that. But we shall see. Whatever happens, I'm sure it'll be different than what we're prognosticating today. Ron writes the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, where he talks about presidential history, opinions from a moderate left viewpoint, and interesting tidbits and factoids for our entertainment, amusement, and thought processes. And we encourage you to read it, bookmark it. You don't have to agree with it. And you can always get in touch with him on social media, Twitter, Facebook, or I guess you could always send a carrier pigeon. We've talked about Bernie Sanders ad infinitum today, but it's almost time to close out the show. So let's go ahead and talk about the blog that you wrote on last Friday, February 28th, because I can't bring home enough the fact that Sanders is someone who is too extreme and would be quite dangerous. Folks, if you're considering voting for him, I ask you to reconsider it. You write, is Bernie Sanders suicidal by praising education under Fidel Castro and criticizing Israeli Jewish pressure group AIPAC? Sanders, despite being Jewish, although not very religious, he alienates much of the Jewish community in this criticism of the AIPAC, which has the support of a large percentage of American Jews. And we've discussed, Ron, people often root for the home team. Many gay people support Buttigieg. Many black people voted for Obama, and that's helped out Biden greatly because they remember how well he worked with a black man a generation younger. And that very well could be what swings the election in his favor. It certainly helped in South Carolina. But with Sanders, is he alienating his fellow Jewish people? Or does he say, I don't really care. I will spew forth my opinions. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, 70% of Jews in the United States tend to vote Democratic. The belief is that not that many would vote Democratic if he's the nominee. I don't know. It's hard to say. Because a lot of people in America don't like AIPAC. A lot of them don't like the Israeli government who are Jewish. So it's very hard, but it's probably true that he might get a lower percentage and more Jews might vote for Trump. And that's not a good thing in a state like Florida,
well,
particularly.
Nothing wrong with, as I say, rooting for the home team. But in this case, if Sanders can't get support of people that are similar to him in a certain aspect, how can he get support from others? So I guess we shall see.
Cuban Americans are an issue also in Florida. I think Florida, not that it would be easy to win it, but it would definitely guarantee between the Jewish and Cuban vote that he probably could not win Florida, which has 29 electoral votes, third most.
Versus Buttigieg's support among gay people, despite him, you know, being a little mysterious in many ways, and how the important black vote has greatly helped Biden and will continue to do so. All I can say, folks, is get a lot of sleep tonight. If you're listening to the original broadcast of this on Monday, Super Tuesday will be super and will no doubt spew forth many surprises. And when Ron and I talk...
Intervene that Massachusetts is voting. If Warren cannot win Massachusetts, and she hasn't been doing well, I think that's the end. And if Klobuchar cannot win Minnesota, I think that's the end for her. So
yes,
I think it's very likely we'll be left with three or four after Super Tuesday.
Winning your home state or winning people that are a member of a demographic that you are. We talked about Mayor Pete. We talked about Obama's support that he got during his two runs, which were successful. For the presidency, speak about women candidates, how many of them vote for the female who's on the ballot. It's all part of the mix. And certainly, in terms of Super Tuesday, it's going to be an interesting day. I would suggest being glued to your television, newspaper, radio, website like Ron and I no doubt will be doing on Tuesday. It's going to be an interesting
Tuesday
day.
Tuesday night into Wednesday, yes.
That, along with the coronavirus news and the market, impending interest rate changes. We have a pretty crazy week ahead, but that's all part of being an adult, I guess, part of the fun. Ron Feinman, thank you again for being with me on
thank
a fine
you very much again, as always.
Mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. All kinds of good stuff, kind of delved into Bernie Sanders in detail, talked about coronavirus. Are we panicking? Are we over-dramatizing? And who may be the leading candidates for people that pull a lever when it comes time for voting. Great time to be an American and follow the news, I can tell you that much, whatever side you're on. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. And like a candidate of mine that I wish was president right now, Hillary Clinton, I have a private email server, but I don't delete any messages, so please feel free to send me a message, even if it's to say thank you for putting on such a fantastic show, or thank you for putting on a show that I don't like. That's okay, too. We accept complaints and negative comments or any questions, concerns. Adam at WWGH1071.com.